The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Keep, O Lord, your household, the church, in your steadfast faith and love, that through your grace we may proclaim your truth with boldness and minister your justice with compassion. For the sake of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the first book of Kings. The following events took place. Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard in Jezreel beside the palace of King Ahab of Samaria. And Ahab said to Naboth, "Give me your vineyard so that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near my house. I will give you a better vineyard for it, or if it seems good to you, I will give you its value in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give you my ancestral inheritance." Ahab went home resentful and sullen because of what Naboth the Jezreelite had said to him. For he had said, "I will not give you my ancestral inheritance." He lay down on his bed, turned away his face, and would not eat. His wife Jezebel came to him and said, "Why are you so depressed that you will not eat?" He said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else, if you prefer, I will give you another vineyard for it.' But he answered, 'I will not give you my vineyard.' His wife Jezebel said to him, 'Do you not now govern Israel? Get up, eat some food, and be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.' So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. She sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who lived with Naboth in his city. She wrote the letters, 'Proclaim a fast and seat Naboth at the head of the assembly. Seat two scoundrels opposite him and have them bring a charge against him, saying, "You have cursed God and the king." Then take him out and stone him to death." As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, Jezebel said to Ahab, "Go take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead." As soon as Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, Ahab set out to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Go down to meet King Ahab of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He is now in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone to take possession. You shall say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, have you killed and also taken possession?' You shall say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, dogs will also lick up your blood.'" Ahab said to Elijah, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" He answered, "I have found you. Because you have sold yourself to do what is evil in the sight of the Lord, I will bring disaster on you." The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm 5 in unison. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken to my cry for help, my King and my God. For I make my prayer to you. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. Early in the morning, I make my appeal and watch for you. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, and evil cannot dwell with you. Braggarts cannot stand in your sight. You hate all those who work wickedness. You destroy those who speak lies. The bloodthirsty and deceitful, O Lord, you abhor. But as for me, through the greatness of your mercy, I will go into your house. I will bow down towards your holy temple in awe of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness, because of those who lie in wait for me. Make your way straight before me.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Galatians. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus, so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by doing the works of the law, because no one will be justified by the works of the law. But if, in our effort to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again the very things that I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with oil. Now the Pharisee who had invited him saw it. He said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and replied to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." "A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts of both of them. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Soon afterward, he went through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Chusa, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. The Gospel of our Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. During the financial crisis that happened between 2008 and 2009, many investors and financiers suffered greatly. And one Korean businessman committed suicide. His wife would later recall his behavior during that time, and even in the years prior, she would recall how he worked very long, long hours, and she wanted to tell him that she wished he could find more balance in his life, but she didn't want to upset him. As things got worse, he took to drinking, And his wife would later write, "I knew that he was drinking too much, that it wasn't good for his health. But again, I didn't want to upset him, so I didn't say anything." Over the years, she described how his money became him, and he began to feel as if he was worth more when he owned more, as if he was what he owned. And she knew that something was very wrong, that he was a good man who had become misdirected, and yet she did not have the courage to tell him to get some help. This was a man who had no profit in his life. And as a result, he was lost. We all need a prophet in our lives, a person who can look at your life with some distance and some objectivity and tell you the truth. Not mincing words, not being afraid of whether you're going to be offended or not, but really tell you the truth. We all need someone like that, every single one of us. Because you cannot see yourself clearly when you live inside yourself. In the first few years of my ministry, I met a prophet, and he was a powerful one. My encounter with this prophet came about because my senior warden, whose name is Dewey Michelin, was a terrible alcoholic. And Dewey has since given me permission to tell this story to all of you. He wants me to tell it as much as I can. Dewey is a retired businessman who is loved and respected by everyone in his community. And he was serving as the senior warden when I took my very first church in South Carolina. I began to worry about Dewey after only a few months being there, because when I called in the evenings, his voice sounded slurred. And he had these strange physical ailments like rosacea and redness to his skin. He talked about having TIAs, little strokes. It took me a while to realize that every evening, when his wife greeted him at the front door, she would hand him a glass of scotch. And every night, he would drink and drink and drink. So I sat down with Dewey and I said, "I'm worried about you. I'm worried about how much you're drinking." And he said, "Kate, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just a young thing." And I said, "You're right. I really don't know much about what I'm talking about, but I'm worried about you. Will you come with me for one appointment at a rehabilitation center? One, just one, to make sure it's not a problem." Well, he was pretty mad, but he came. They sat him down with his wife in a little room, and I sat to the side. And first, this pretty young woman came in with a clipboard, and she asked him all these general questions about his health and his weight and all that. And she asked him how much scotch he drank, and when he talked about it was close to a gallon a night, she just checked it on her box and acted as if there was nothing wrong. And when she left, Dewey looked at me and said, "See?" And And then the prophet came in. He was a short, funny-looking man with big glasses on. He looked like he had been doing this for years and years and years. He didn't sit behind a desk. He pulled his chair right up to Dewey and sat down right across from him and looked him right in the eye and said, "Mr. Michelin, I've got your papers right here." And Dewey said, "Yes, yes, doctor." And he said, "Mr. Michelin, I want you to look at me." "Yes, doctor." "Mr. Michelin, you're going to die in a year or two. And do you know why?" And Dewey said, "No." And he said, "Because you are drinking yourself to death. And every single physical ailment that you list has to do with the fact that you're poisoning your body. So if you want to die, Mr. Michelin, I suggest you keep on doing what you're doing. If you want to live a longer life, then you're going to have to make some serious changes." There was this dead silence in the office. Dewey looked like he had been hit over the head with a 2x4. He stood up and said, "Excuse me, sir," and walked right out. But Dewey was a good man, and although he was angry, I think he heard that prophet's words. It took him about 2 or 3 more months before he voluntarily checked himself into that rehabilitation center. It took him 3 months to get dry. And when he was released, he and his wife decided to renew their marriage vows without alcohol involved. Dewey is still around. He just finished, I think, his 3rd term as senior warden. He's doing great. A prophet is someone who is not afraid to speak the truth to you. Someone who is willing to look you right in the eye and tell you when you've gone astray. And we all need them, not just alcoholics, not just people who are struggling in traumatic ways, but every single one of us. Because it's so easy to get astray. The prophet Elijah was the quintessential prophet, a truth teller who was scared all the time. He was so scared that at one point in his career, he begs God just to let him die. And yet, despite his fear, he always spoke the truth. In 1 Kings, there's this amazing story about this horrible king. I think he was probably the worst king in all of Israel. He had this amazing combination of being paranoid, spoiled, childlike, and all the time self-centered. Great combination, right? His name was King Ahab. And not only was he paranoid and childlike, but he was married to a woman who had no conscience. You all have heard of her name, even if you haven't read 1 Kings, because her name is Jezebel. And we use that name, don't we? It still means wicked woman, doesn't it? And it's mentioned in the book of Revelation even. Jezebel was scary. You know, archaeologists discovered a site about a decade ago in what is now Megiddo in Israel. It was a temple to Ashtoreth, who's the consort of Baal, who Jezebel worshipped. This was Jezebel's temple. They found the ruins of the temple and all of the statues and all that, but outside of the temple, they found a cemetery. And underneath all that dirt, they found graves, tiny little graves, with the bodies of infants, because Jezebel, in worshiping this goddess, sacrificed infants. I don't know if you can get any worse than that, you think? That's awful. So Jezebel, the woman with no conscience, is married to the paranoid childlike king, and he decides that he wants a particular vineyard that is close to his castle. He just wants to make a garden there, and when he wants something, he has to have it like a spoiled brat. So he asks the owner of the vineyard, Naboth, I want to buy your vineyard. And Naboth says, I'm so sorry, but that vineyard has been in my family for generations. He refuses to sell. So Ahab, the spoiled childlike king, goes to bed. He curls up in a fetal position and just lies there without eating. And Jezebel comes in and says, what's wrong, dear? I want that vineyard, and they won't give me that vineyard, and Naboth won't sell it to me. And Jezebel says, now don't you worry. I'll get it for you. Jezebel sends out letters in the king's name, inviting everyone to a great fast, which meant that there was a crime, and everyone was preparing themselves for some kind of a trial. Jezebel then pays two scoundrels who are willing to lie for money. She calls Naboth in and all the community who have been fasting. She accuses Naboth of having blasphemed God and the king, and the two scoundrels tell everyone that he said these things to them. And they take the owner of that vineyard outside, and they stone him to death. And Jezebel comes back to her husband and says, guess what, dear? I've got a vineyard for you. And no one says a thing. No one. Why? Because they were terrified. This was a king who was paranoid and unpredictable and obviously could do whatever he wanted, so no one said a thing, except for Elijah. I can just picture Elijah going to the king and looking him right in the eye, just the way that doctor did to Dewey, and saying, you just sold your soul for a vineyard. And in so many words, you're gonna fry. Because guess what happens when someone does something like that? Their life becomes a spiral of misery. And Elijah, though he was terrified, was not afraid to name the crime. And Ahab repents. I guess he's so scared he figures he'd better do it. He says he's sorry. If you and I are going to follow Jesus, who was a great prophet, we must find our own prophets. You cannot lead a just and good life all by yourself. And I want to tell you something that you may not like, but this is my personal opinion. I do not believe that your spouse can be your prophet. They're too close to you. You become so intertwined that they can't always see clearly. The same goes with your best friend or your child. No, a prophet really must be someone who can step back and look at your life with some kind of objectivity. That is why I believe so firmly in spiritual direction, in therapy. Therapy is not for people who are messed up. It's for people who have the courage to be well. That is why I believe in coaching and counseling and confessing your sins. Because every single one of us needs a prophet. And it may be that you need to pay the person. That's great. Then you can talk about your whole self for an hour without feeling guilty. It's wonderful. When Jesus saw a person, he told them what they needed to hear, not what they wanted to hear. And if we're to follow him, then not only do we need to find ourselves a prophet, we also need to be willing to be a prophet. So I want you to ask yourself this question. Do you spend your life telling people things that they want to hear? When you're troubled or upset by someone, do you tell them that or do you tell someone else? Or no one at all? Do you have the courage to make people mad? Because if you please people all your life, then I don't think you're being a prophet. If we're going to follow Jesus, we must have the courage to sometimes make others angry, to say something that they may not want to hear. And I'm not talking about being a critic. A critic is not a prophet. I'm not talking about someone who spews negativity all the time. I'm talking about when you love someone or know them well and you see them going astray, do you have the courage to tell them? Not out of criticism, but out of love. We live in such a broken world. It is so easy for us to get distracted, to chase after things that don't matter, to learn to serve things that are not God. All of us need someone to tell the truth to us regularly. Remember that on the mountain of the Transfiguration, when Jesus appeared in the presence of God and he was surrounded by light, who was right beside him but Elijah? Nobody liked Elijah very much in this life, but he must have done something right, don't you think? And if we too want to be near Jesus in the kingdom of heaven, then we too must be willing to tell the truth. No matter what the cost. Amen.
Now let us stand and affirm our faith.
Let us say together the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Father, we pray for all those who are suffering in any way, for the sick, the lonely, the hungry, and those in pain. I invite you to speak the name of those in need aloud.
Jackie, Barbara.
Hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer.
Bless this cathedral and all who walk through these doors, that we may serve you all our days. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Bless the city of Jacksonville, that we may grow and prosper. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Give peace in our time, that throughout the world there may be greater understanding among all people. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Give us the wisdom and the means to care for this good earth that you have given us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Embrace the souls of all those who have died. Comfort those who mourn. I invite you to speak the names of those who have died aloud.
For Victor.
Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others.
If you would please turn to the blue insert in your bulletin, let us read together a prayer for Father's Day. Let us pray for fathers who have striven to balance the demands of work, marriage, and children with an honest awareness of both joy and sacrifice. Let us praise those fathers who, lacking a good model for a father, have worked to become a good father. Let us pray for fathers who, by their own account, were not always there for their children, but who continue to offer those children, now grown, their love and support. Let us pray for those fathers who have been wounded by the neglect and hostility of their children. Let us praise those fathers who, despite divorce, have remained in their children's lives. Let us pray for fathers whose children are adopted and whose love and support has offered healing. Let us praise those fathers who, as stepfathers, freely choose the obligation of fatherhood and earn their stepchildren's love and respect. Let us pray for fathers who have lost a child to death and continue to hold the child in their heart. Let us praise those men who have no children, but cherish the next generation as if it were their own. Let us pray for those men who have fathered us in their role as mentors and guides. Let us pray for men who are about to become fathers. May they openly delight in their children. And let us praise those fathers who have died, but live on in our memory and whose love continues to nurture us. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who called his Father Abba, and in whose name we now give thanks and praise. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. How are you all today? Welcome, welcome. If you're new or visiting, we hope you will take one of the cards in your pew and fill it out, and we will send you our e-newsletter. We're so glad you're here with us today. Today, three homeless families arrive here at the church, and they will live with us for a week. This is part of the Family Promise program. These three families are all single mothers who do have jobs but have children ranging from infants all the way to teenagers. And if you would like to help with this program, you can call the church office. We already have many wonderful volunteers who will be cooking meals and playing with the kids. So thank you. If you are someone who has done this wonderful retreat called Curcio, and you would like to be part of a reunion of Curcio people, there's an area, Ultrea, which is a reunion this evening at 5 o'clock in Cummings Chapel, and a potluck supper will follow. I believe this is also open to people who are interested in doing Curcio. Is that right, Aaron?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. We are discerning doing a capital campaign to fix some of the preservation needs and repairs of this building. And we have people who have volunteered to give you a tour. If you would like to see the things that are broken or that need to be fixed, there will be a tour that will leave from the font directly after this service. And it lasts about 20 minutes. And it's a great way of understanding what's going on in our building. Mark your calendars for Vacation Bible School, which is coming up on July 8th through 12th. All children are invited and grown-ups too. You can register online on our website. And next Sunday, Lauren Kalman from Communities and Schools will be at St. John's Cathedral to talk about how you can become involved as a mentor in the public schools. So if you want to be a prophet, that's a great way of becoming someone's prophet, to be a mentor of a child in the public school system. So for more information about that, look in your bulletin. Also next Sunday, we will have a blood drive here at the church if you're able to give blood. We have wonderful prophets here in our community, so many wise and prayerful people, so I hope you will get to know one another. We also have spiritual directors here at the church. So in addition to coming to your priests if you need to talk, we do have four now spiritual directors who are trained and licensed and will see you for free if you need to talk. And I'm very blessed. One of my spiritual directors is a retired priest who happens to be sitting right over there, Father Bernie Dooley, who is pretty awesome. So we have two wonderful announcements today. Marie, can you come up, please? Where are you? Do you all know Marie? Marie is one of the angels of this parish. She is our sexton, and she does the ministry of the work of God both in this building by loving us, but also out on the streets by loving the homeless, who have let her know that no one will ever bother her out on the streets because everyone loves her. Marie has been at this cathedral for 25 years tomorrow. Turn around, look at everybody, sweetie. You want to say something? She doesn't want to say anything, but we love you.
That's the first time.
One of the great ministers of God in our community. And last but not least, if someone is 90 or above, we always have to celebrate them and have a cake when they celebrate a birthday. And Helen Brown is 91. Helen, where are you? So please join us for cake. Marie, I hope you'll go to Tolliver so people can hug you. Tolliver Hall to greet Helen and Marie after the service. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile Earth, our island home.
By your will, you created and have been.
From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law, and in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, your Church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Now please join me in sending forth our Eucharistic minister who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood.
We
who are many are one body. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Go forth into the world and be prophets, people who speak the truth, and find a prophet for your own. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.